The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Jackie Schlegel in studio with me and Neil Miller. Is she mic'd up now? Was it not plugged in, Jackie?
I'm struggling today.
That's an interesting last name.
Schlegel.
Schlegel.
Yeah.
Schlegel?
Yeah.
Schlegel.
Say it one more time.
Schlegel.
Yes. Kind of like Lego.
The Schlegel family, the one I know, I also know you. I actually asked you, there's a very wealthy family in town.
That's
not you.
And that's it's so great to have you guys here. It really is. You know, I thought of you really, really early this morning, Daniel, and not because you were on the show today, but because I got locked out of my house this morning.
Oh, jeez.
In my pajamas.
Oh,
okay.
No. Did you have your cell phone on you?
No.
That's
the crazy thing. So I went to go open my gate because there were guys coming early because both of my porta-chaises, I think that's what you call them, I'm not very mechanical or what's another word to describe somebody who doesn't know jack about houses and how
just
they're
handy.
Built.
Handy. You're not I'm very not a handy, handy around girl. The house.
Yeah. I'm not a very handy girl.
Yeah.
I'm not. And so I don't have a lot of time. I feel like I need to study now. Like I need to study how my home works so I understand it better. Like I didn't know, and everybody I know you're gonna be laughing out there. I didn't know. So two of my big air conditioning units are out and I'm like, it's okay, it's not that hot in the house. Because my house is, you know, so solid. It doesn't get real hot and it doesn't get real cold. So I thought, oh, I'll replace them, you know, in a couple of months. And because I've got all this other construction work going on and I'm just, you know, watching the bank account.
Right.
And anyway, so where am I going with this? Let me go. I've got too many things going right now, don't I?
Your air conditioner.
Yeah.
My air conditioner. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not too handy. My air conditioner. And so I didn't know until this morning that your air conditioner also heats the house. It blows the heat out. And I should know that because it's heat and AC, right?
Wait,
AC and heat.
Again?
Yes. Okay. So two of my units are out. Okay. So I've got 2 5-ton units that are out. And so they don't just blow cold air. They blow hot air too.
And they're supposed to.
They blow it out.
The hot air out, the cool air in.
Don't they push the hot air in the house in the winter when you're...
No, that'd be your heater.
Aren't they synonymous?
They don't have to be the synonymous.
Okay, I'm super confused now, so forget about it. We're not going to talk about it. I'm going to get out a book tonight, and I'm going to study how this stuff works.
I would have to look and see what you have in your
but
house.
But I got locked out of my house. I don't even know. Here's the crazy thing. I don't know how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how it happened. And so I went up to open the gate so the guys could come in, and I went to go back in the house. And Susie, all the other dogs I had already taken to the groomer because today's groomer day for some three of the little ones that need haircuts. And so anyway, so I went to open the door and I'm like, how did it get locked? Why is it locked? It's never happened to me in all the years I've lived there. I still don't know how it happened, but I had to wait for my daughter to get up and let me in the house.
Oh, wow.
And it was super crazy.
Well,
it was super
goodness
crazy.
She was home.
So,
you know, I always try to have my key or at least my phone in my pocket if I leave my house.
So I was thinking, what would Daniel Tag do? What would Daniel do? What should I do, Daniel? Where is the best place to hide an extra key on your property? Like dig a little hole?
You know, you just need to, like the whole rock thing, every criminal
knows
look
doing
for
that.
The rock.
No.
Yeah. You need to you need to think of an uncommon place around your house that you would recognize, and then it's a little bit of a process to get to that key. Like what I did in college, I had a unattached garage that was right next to my house. So I hid a key in the garage, like, and he had to open up several different little compartments, and it was up taped up underneath something.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone would have had to look really, 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 really hard to find that, but yet because I knew where it was, it took me like 2 minutes to 3 minutes to get it. So it's different depending on where you are, but you need to put
My property's huge.
Yeah.
It's 3.5
so
acres.
You need to put it somewhere where it's not easily accessible.
That's huge for me. That's not huge for a lot of people.
What about those codes?
Yeah,
the electric keypads.
Nah.
Yeah.
I have that one
on my house. Yeah. I like it.
You know what? What I do, at least out where I live, is I have a neighbor right across from me that is a very good, trustworthy guy.
I do too. We have a great neighborhood association.
Yeah, and so he has the number of the guy that has another key to my house. So I would literally walk, and he's always there. He's retired. Mm-hmm. So I would
bury it somewhere in the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. Just bury it.
Seriously.
I would still bury it somewhere on your property because you have a gated property.
I'm going out tonight with a little shovel, and I'm going to dig a little hole.
So you don't want to tell everyone internationally where you're gonna hide it.
If no, I'm not. I'm gonna hide it in my neighborhood.
But how are you
good
gonna find
it
in the dirt?
Right.
Huh? If you bury it, how are you gonna find it? Put it like a little flagpole where it's
I'm very smart. Yeah. I can navigate
that's essentially what you want to do. You want to do something where it's a little bit of work to get to it, to where you can get to it within a couple minutes. But anyone else would take them like. I mean, it would take some serious luck or some serious time for someone else to find it. Because you do have a big property.
Yeah.
So if you put it somewhere on that property that's not a common place. Because you think above the door in the little trim, every criminal knows to look for there. If there's a couple little fake rocks around, they know how to spot that.
Oh, yeah.
If you put it underneath the planter, everyone does that.
Everyone does that.
So you got to do something completely out of the norm, but something that you will remember. Because you also don't want to get there and be like, oh, shoot. Where'd I put it?
That would be me. I've got stuff hidden that I still can't find.
Yeah.
Like seriously, I thought, I'm gonna hide these really good. Like they were the keys to my safety box.
Uh-huh.
You know, at
safety
the bank.
Deposit box. Yeah.
I can't find them.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to pay to have them
drilled
it out
into,
again.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the second time. I can hide stuff too well.
Yep.
So well that I can't even find it.
That's where a lot of times I'll put coded messages to myself in my phone as far as like on my notes. Like I'll put a couple letters together, a couple letters and numbers together that it'll remind me of where things are. Or I'll say broken sentences or something to myself that I know what it means, but anyone else reading that is going to be complete garble.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same thing with passcodes. When you have to remember passcodes, I don't do my birthday. I don't do the house that I grew up in. I do things that only I know like make sense to me, like random things that I don't talk about to anyone that I know. Mm-hmm. That's what I put.
Yeah. No, I'm the queen of resetting my password.
Yeah, you can't.
You got to
do random.
Yeah.
And then associate it with something else. Like, right, I was following this guy the other day, and I like to memorize license plates as I'm driving to just keep my brain sharp.
Uh-huh.
So if someone, like, would hit and run, I had to just look at a license plate, and I had to remember it, right?
Uh-huh. That's such a Daniel thing.
Yeah. So you do association. So I was actually following this person to that fitness club that I was telling you about earlier, and I now know his license plate because I did association with peanut butter and jelly, and, like, he had a couple P's and an H, and I was like, peanut butter. Hand jelly instead of it, and
how
it was
clever.
Yeah, yeah.
And why?
So I put it with the H, hand and jelly. There was a number in there, so I put there's that many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It was P and then B, and then it was H, right? So I put hand, and then it was another P. So I was like peanut butter, hand, peanut. And then I knew how many number of sandwiches there were. It makes no sense to you.
Yeah, I'm like, don't give this guy's license plate out.
Right, but. It made sense to me. So you got to associate it with other things. So when you bury your key or do whatever you do, put something in there where you associate it with something else. Because that's how you recall things as association.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole idea of that whole long spiel.
I'm thinking of some really good places I could hide it.
There you go. Good. Just don't tell anyone. Unless it's someone that you obviously trust. But don't say it on national radio.
I'm going to hide it at the...
right?
No.
Underneath the rock, underneath the bush, next to the flowers.
Yeah. But a lot of people deal with this, right?
Oh, yeah. People
I still
lock
don't know how the
out.
Heck I got. I don't know. Because the locks, Avi knows my house well. The locks on my door or my door handles, you have to go through a process to lock them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you have to lift the door handle.
You have to lift the door handle, and they're Pella doors, and they're very secure. I'm like, how in the heck did that even happen?
Right.
I was shocked. I'm like, is there somebody in there that I didn't? I mean, it was like weird.
Right.
It was weird.
Hmm.
But
been the dogs.
I used to be famous for locking myself out of my vehicle, locking my keys in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And I thank God I have a key fob now, so it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I've been known to have to go into the store and get some grocery hangers and, you know, be able to get in my own vehicle.
Well, it's great to have you in studio, both of you. Jackie, I'm just looking at over at you at your big smile. And we've got a fantastic show lined out. Daniel Tagg is going to be talking about how to get into shape, like for real, for really. And you just gained 15
convicted.
Pounds, so we're gonna use you as our
really
guinea pig.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, so many people deal with that. Right now, I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
You look beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. But I've been exercising a lot, and my legs are one of my greatest features, and they feel good today. So. I worked out this morning. I did the spin bike.
Oh, nice.
For 20 minutes.
Good.
So out of the saddle most of the time, considering I'd never planned when I planned on going back to bed. I never went back to bed, so I didn't get enough sleep again. And so, but I thought, you know what? I am going to knock out my workout because it'll make the rest of my day better. And it did indeed. But the show, we've got Neil Miller coming up. You're not going to want to miss this. We're talking about Miller's Review Critical Vaccine Studies. This is one of the hottest topics in the country. Jackie Schlegel is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. So we're going to mix it up here. He's going to be on for a couple of segments. We're going to be talking about DTaP vaccination. So stay tuned. We're going to cover them all. It's really a very hot topic, and I think you'll be shocked at what you hear. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Up and down, love, push up, love. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Would you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo. His
palms are sweaty, knees weak. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I have Daniel Tagg in studio with me, Jackie Schlegel, and Neil Z. Miller on the line. He is a medical research journalist and the director of the Think Twice Global Vaccine Institute. He has devoted the past 30 years to educating parents and health practitioners about vaccines, encouraging informed consent, and non-mandatory laws. He is the author of several articles, studies, and books on vaccines, including Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies. Neil has a degree in psychology and is a member of Mensa International. You can find him at thinktwice.com. How are you doing today, Neil?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, this is a big topic, and it's getting heated every single day. The gas is being turned up on this. So, you know, today we're kind of focusing on pertussis or whooping cough. So, how common is whooping cough or pertussis among infants?
Well, it's cyclic. Some of these diseases are cyclic, and pertussis is cyclic. The vaccine has altered that somewhat, but basically it comes every 3 to 5 years in waves. For the most part, it's not a serious disease unless contracted by young infants, especially below 6 months of age. And then they get that classic, it's pertussis, but they call it whooping cough because mm-hmm. there's a whooping when these children try to grasp for air, mm-hmm. Try to get oxygen. And so it is potentially fatal in young infants.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that many cases of fatal pertussis in the United States anymore.
Mm-hmm.
that's not as common as it used to be.
Well, and some would say because of the vaccines, but I'm not so sure. You know, I'm counting on you to give me the information that I'm looking for. And so, you know, how effective is the DTaP? And I have to say, so diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, why would you give a small child a tetanus vaccine if they haven't been exposed to, you know, because typically it's because of an injury, right? If you've opened a wound and some sort of, you know, like bacteria from a piece of metal or something has gotten into the body, right?
Yeah, infants are not at risk of tetanus nor diphtheria. There hasn't been a case of diphtheria in the nation for I don't know how many years. Uh-huh. Diphtheria is just not a concern in the United States. Tetanus isn't either, and it's not even a contagious disease. And the rationale for giving vaccines has been to protect against infectious disease. But you're absolutely right. There's no reasonable rationale for combining the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine. In fact, I know people that want, you know, a tetanus vaccine. They want their booster tetanus vaccine, and the doctors don't tell them that when they go to get their tetanus vaccine, that they're getting it with in combination with diphtheria and pertussis.
Mm-hmm.
And they remove the option to get those vaccines individually. So you can't just go and say, I'd like a tetanus vaccine without getting the pertussis vaccine as well. And that's extremely aggravating to a lot of people that do want that tetanus vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the infants, absolutely, there's virtually negligible risk of a infant stepping on a dirty nail that's been exposed to the tetanus spore. I mean, you can't just get it from a sharp wound. It mm-hmm. has to be a sharp wound that's been exposed to a tetanus spore, and it has to be a wound that has closed up before you mm-hmm. you've cleaned it out. So it's highly unlikely, and it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, you know, I have a couple of tetanus stories here. many years in the restaurant business, I cut my hand many, many times. And I have this one memory of where I was washing the pizza knife in the big triple sink, and it slid on my hand, basically almost cut my thumb off. But I went to the emergency room. They sewed it back up, but then they gave me a tetanus shot. And I thought, why a tetanus shot? I was in perfectly clean water. It was a sharp instrument. There was no risk of tetanus. And yet, this is so commonplace, too. Every time, then I cut my leg a couple of years ago on a piece of glass when I was taking garbage out, ended up in the emergency room. Again, tetanus. And I say, maybe in that case, perhaps, maybe it was
But you're missing something about it. Everything you said makes sense, but the most important thing that you left out of your story is that the tetanus vaccine is ineffective once you've been exposed to tetanus.
Oh, really?
So if you cut yourself and you were exposed to tetanus, getting a tetanus vaccine at that point is already too late. So, but they do have something. Now, here's the thing, is that they have something else that it's a tetanus antitoxin, okay? And it's essentially an immune globulin. It's an immune therapy. Okay, that you can get after you've been exposed to tetanus. So, for example, if you don't get a tetanus vaccine, because you know there's lots of potential detrimental effects associated with that tetanus vaccine. So there definitely is a trade-off. I've seen studies that show that when you get that tetanus vaccine, it reduces your immunity for up to 2 weeks.
Wow.
Which could make you susceptible to opportunistic infections.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get a tetanus vaccine and you are exposed to the tetanus spore and you're concerned, basically what they should be administering to you is not the tetanus vaccine, but the tetanus antitoxin.
Mm-hmm.
And I discuss that in my books. In fact, that's in my, not my most recent book, but the one before that, the Vaccine Safety Manual.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a complete chapter on tetanus.
And isn't the tetanus shot supposed to be good for 10 years, too? And yet, every time I was in the emergency room, which was typically every year, I'm very clumsy. Stuff just happens to me. And it's like, if it's good for 10, and I remember saying, well, isn't it good for 10 years? And they'd be like, well, you don't want to take any chances, you know, putting the scare in me, like, oh,
exactly.
You better do it.
Yeah, the immunity they've shown lasts longer than 10 years, even. And in fact, Dr. Robert Mendelsohn,
love him.
He's discussed. He was a pediatrician mm-hmm. that spoke out against mandatory vaccines, and he talked about the fact that they're over vaccinating with the tetanus vaccine mm-hmm. with the booster dose. It's the same thing they're doing with, for example, dogs with the rabies vaccine.
Yep.
That rabies vaccine that they give to dogs is good for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They show that the immunity is still very high after 10 years. And in some states, they're giving it annually. They're mm-hmm. demanding it annually.
Right.
Now, some states have backed off and they've gone to once every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still too high. So they're over-vaccinating. And again, there's problems with that as well. But getting back to pertussis, And one of the big things that's gone on is that the vaccine itself is problematic. And the vaccine has been linked to all sorts of problems, everything from sudden infant death to neurological damage.
Right.
Well,
I want to interrupt you, if I may, for just a moment, because I want to introduce you to Jackie Schlegel, who actually her daughter Ashlyn was vaccine injured exactly by what you're talking about, by the DP or the DTaP. And so I'm going to let her tell you the story.
Well,
sure.
You know, when we're giving these kids 9 vaccines in one day, it can be challenging to hone in on which one. But her symptoms do mirror this vaccine, seizures 15 minutes after having the vaccine.
How old was she?
4 months.
4 months old.
And
you watched her head change?
Oh, immediately. Her head swelled up. She screamed bloody murder. It's a cry that many in this community have nightmares of, because it's so distinct, it's so profound, it's
really?
So, I mean, their brains just, it's like they're on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
they call that the Cree encephalique. That was a term that was used to define the, it's really encephalitis, it's brain damage that's taking place.
It is.
And the baby is screaming, a very high-pitched scream. Mm-hmm. They're not just crying because that, you know, they've got pain from the injection. This is
very different.
A scream that goes on for 3 hours or more.
Wow,
very high pitched. It's very frightening to the parents.
36 hours for my child.
Oh my gosh!
And this is documented in our medical records.
Wow.
But when you get, but you're right. At 4 months of age, at 2 months of age, 4 months of age, and 6 months of age, they're given a minimum of 8 vaccines.
That is
so
insane.
So the babies are being overdosed, and it's hard to isolate whether or not it's any particular vaccine or it's just the combination
mm-hmm.
of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've written a paper, okay, precisely on this problem of overdosing babies. And we did a study. I did a study in collaboration with Dr. Gary Goldman, where we've shown that giving multiple vaccines at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months of age is a dangerous practice. It increases the risk of hospitalizations and death. And you can get up to my website at thinktwice.com and scroll down on that first page towards the bottom, and there's a link to these papers that I've written documenting this problem. It's a serious problem. It's not just the pertussis vaccine, but you're getting that whole combination.
Mm-hmm.
And other things that need to be looked at are that the aluminum content in those vaccines, because
mm-hmm.
when you're getting at 2 months and 4 months and 6 months of age, you have to understand you're getting a hepatitis B vaccine that contains aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a Haemophilus influenza type B or a Hib vaccine that contains aluminum. You're getting the pertussis vaccine that contains aluminum, So this is and I think the pneumococcal vaccine you're getting as well, and that contains aluminum as well. These are extremely high concentrations of aluminum. Now, there's no known biological purpose for aluminum in the body. Every study that's ever been conducted on aluminum, and not just aluminum in relation to vaccines, the aluminum adjuvants that are added to vaccines to stimulate antibody production, just aluminum, period. Any form of aluminum in the body is dangerous. It has been linked by hundreds, if not thousands, of studies to neurological and immunological damage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they think this is okay to be giving multiple doses, multiple injections of aluminum in infants, mm-hmm. multiple times.
Well, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to go to break quickly for station identification, and we will be right back. Stay tuned, everyone. We're speaking with Neil Z. Miller. He is a medical research journalist and the director of Think Twice Global Vaccine Institute. We will be right back. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Rally song.
I love this song. Well, you know, this song was written by Tom Petty about going up against the big record companies. That's what he wrote this song about.
Really?
Did you not know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Makes it all that much more special now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio. He's got a segment coming up about how to get into shape. And Jackie Schlegel, she is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. And Neil Z. Miller, if you're just now joining us, is a medical research journalist and the director of the Think Twice Global Vaccine Institute. He has devoted the past 30 years to educating parents and health practitioners about vaccines, encouraging informed consent and non-mandatory laws. He is the author of several articles, studies, and books on vaccines, including Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies. Neil has a degree in psychology and is a member of Mensa International. His website is thinktwice.com. Neil, I really appreciate you being with us. You know, Jackie brought up, I've got so many questions I want to ask you, and I want to get them out, but Jackie brought up something, which my daughter actually brought up to me right before I went live today. She said, be careful, Mom, because it scares me you talking about this, mm-hmm. because Neil Miller is very much hated on social media. So, and Jackie wanted to know.
Well, this website was one of the first websites that really helped me in my journey. And so he's been doing this a long time, clearly. And just a few minutes ago, I said, has he faced the pushback and censorship that we have? Because the website's still going. He's still out there doing these interviews. But I'm kind of curious of what type of pushback
or efforts.
Oh, yeah, I'm
receiving a lot of pushback. In fact, my recent book, Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies, and I highly recommend that for everyone, because in that book, what I did is I summarized 400 studies from the peer-reviewed scientific journals that document problems with vaccines. And so this book, Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies, has become a bestseller on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, CNN CNN Business Reports did a report, and they said in that report they were directing it to Congress and directing it to Amazon. And they were telling Amazon that that they need to remove my book.
And that's what I was going to ask you. What happens when they remove
it? Amazon to censor my book, basically book burning, modern-day book burning, mm-hmm. to remove it from their listings. And as a result, of them asking, and they did two stories on that. And then Adam Schiff, who's Congressman Adam Schiff, who's also on the Intelligence Committee, also wrote a report to Amazon asking them to censor what he was calling anti-vaccine wow. books. He was calling it books that were giving out mm-hmm. misinformation. Mm-hmm. Now, my book is not misinformation. My book is summaries of the actual science, the peer-reviewed published science in the medical journals. So it's Adam Schiff that was giving out the misinformation by calling this misinformation. But as a result of the threat of censoring my book, it almost went up to a number one of all books mm-hmm. of all books. And we immediately sold out of stock. And
I've got a couple copies.
I mean, it sold record number of copies as a result of the threat of censorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're gunning for me. They're coming after me.
I'm buying Tim right now.
Well,
just to be safe.
For real.
They're coming after me. They want to stop me from speaking out. And but it's not quite like I'm not quite hated on social media. I've got actually a very vibrant following of people that absolutely love what I'm doing and appreciate all of the hard work that I put into educating families about vaccines.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and Neil, you brought up Robert S. Mendelsohn. He was a pediatrician. He's been dead for about 25 years, but he wrote a book like 27 years ago, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. That is where I first started reading about vaccines and doing my research when I was pregnant with my first baby. And that's an excellent book as well to do research and just have a handbook, if you will.
How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor.
Yeah.
It's a great book to give
a new parent.
New parent.
Yep.
Strength to know that you don't need to run to your doctor for every little thing.
Right.
But in terms of actual, I mean, he's got a few things in there on vaccines where he's against them.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't document anything. He doesn't mm-hmm. provide any of the science behind it. Dr. Mendelsohn was wonderful, okay, for what he did. But we're in a new day and age. That was the 1980s when mm-hmm. he was putting out his newsletters and writing his book. Mm-hmm. But in that period of time, nobody was demanding the science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, for example, with my book today. My book is just a summary of 400 studies directly from the scientific literature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people appreciate because, so for example, we're talking about pertussis. I have a chapter in my book on what's called pertussis mutations. And so every time there's an outbreak, there's outbreaks of pertussis, outbreaks of whooping cough in society, the media and the health at the bequest of the health authorities, okay, begin to blame non-parents who don't vaccinate their children
mm-hmm.
for these outbreaks of pertussis.
Well, some of the vaccines that they're injecting into these children are live, at least for when they're injecting it like the varicella, right?
Yeah, but let me talk about pertussis for a moment.
Okay.
The pertussis is not a live virus. Pertussis is a bacteria.
Okay.
And with pertussis, what they're doing is they're blaming unvaccinated children for the outbreaks of pertussis.
That's insane.
But the science, okay, which I summarize in my book, in the chapter on pertussis mutations, the science, the studies, actually shows that what's going on, why there are outbreaks, is because the vaccine caused the Bordetella pertussis microorganism to mutate. It's called adaptive behavior.
Oh, wow.
It's an evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm.
So since the vaccine keeps targeting Bordetella pertussis, the Bordetella pertussis microorganism, over the years, the Bordetella pertussis microorganism mutated so that the mutations that are now causing pertussis or whooping cough are no longer threatened by the vaccine. The vaccine is no longer effective against the mutation. So the
mm-hmm.
vaccine caused the microorganism to mutate, and the mutations are more virulent.
Mm-hmm.
So the cases of pertussis today are much more severe, and this is a direct result of the vaccine itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't, and they blame parents for not vaccinating their kids, and they say that it prevents herd immunity. But you cannot achieve herd immunity with a vaccine that's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the vaccine is somewhat effective, the highest efficacy that it's shown, and that's immediately after you vaccinate, because it starts to wane after just a few years, the vaccine efficacy. But the basically about 60%. So even if you vaccinated 100% of the population with a vaccine, at best is 60% effective.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can ever expect to achieve anything close to herd immunity.
Yeah.
So there's just so many lies and so much misinformation being put out there to scare parents and to drum up support for these pharmaceutical drugs. And that's really what it's about. It's about promoting and marketing and presenting propaganda so that they can sell more of this product, and they're not giving us the full story.
Well, I know that you're friends with Gabriel Cousins. He's actually got a quote on the front of your book, and I'm going to read it. It says, "I recommend," and he's a Harvard and a Columbia graduate, by the way, and a medical doctor and a PhD. And the man is so got so much education, it's ridiculous. But he says, "I recommend this book to any parent who has questions about vaccines and wants to be factually educated to make informed decisions." Gabriel Cousins, MD.
Oh yeah, my book, Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies, has been endorsed by numerous medical doctors. Dr. Tony Bark.
Mm.
Dr. Tony Bark is a powerhouse in our field, in our community. She is doing so much to help people become aware, and she's an expert witness, and she's also able to provide some of the most up-to-date therapies for children that have been damaged by vaccines. She's endorsed my book as well. Many medical doctors, there's a whole group of medical doctors, hundreds of medical doctors, that are aware of the serious problems that are associated with vaccines. But many of them are unable to fully speak out.
Right.
Because they know that they'll be targeted and their licenses will.
Oh, yeah. I've lost friends over this.
Mm-hmm.
I have. By even discussing it on the air, I've got dear friends that just think I am an idiot and won't even speak to me.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because you know what? I'm brave as a bear.
And can I say personally, and on behalf of Texans for Vaccine Choice, thank you for both of you for speaking out on this issue, because
you're welcome.
Know it's a tough subject.
Well, I can't wait to have you come back. There's a lot more I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I love all you Texans doing the work you're doing.
Well, and Jackie and I both have our boots on today,
because
it's deep in here. Okay. But I want to give away a copy of your book to anyone out there listening. If you'd like a copy of Neil Miller's book, Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies, you can call in at 214-787-1190. That's 214-787-1190. Or you can email us at oneliferadio.com. What is it?
Or info@oneliferadio.com.
There you go. Info at one life. That's why I have them do it. I've got too much in my head to remember everything. But thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Neil. Thank you.
Thank you again for giving me another opportunity to share this information.
Absolutely. The truth needs to come out, whatever it is. We all need to hear it. We need to understand it. We need to talk about it. Communication is the key to success. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Daniel Tagg. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. gosh, some more Tom Petty. You want to be the boy in the corduroy pants, and I'll be the girl at the high school dance? I love that song. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Big breath. Okay, a big shout out to our sponsors because they help bring this programming to you. Great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. I got mine at Whole Foods the other night. Or you can go to their website, sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, call us crazy. We don't mind. We love our Crazy Water, and it's right here from Mineral Wells, Texas. You've got a choice when you're out there. I sound like Southwest Airlines. So every time I say that, that's all I can think of when I'm on a Southwest Airlines flight. But you do have a choice, and it's great water, and it's local. So check it out, Crazy Water. And of course, Paleo Magazine, great recipes, products, and articles on all around wellness and the Well-Being Journal. I love the Well-Being Journal and Paleo Magazine, but the Well-Being Journal really is heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. And of course, Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. They go by the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Check them out. They have several locations to get plant-based meals to go. They sell juices and all kinds of stuff. And of course, Thorn Research. You can find our dispensary at onelifradio.com/thorn. That's T-H-O-R-N-E. Check it out for 20% off and free shipping on any of your orders. They are one of the number one supplement companies in the world. Check them out at onelifradio.com/thorn. Okay. So I've got Daniel Tagg in studio, and we're going to talk about how to get in shape. So, you know, so many people want to get in shape. Jackie would be one of them.
Help me
out,
Daniel.
She gained 15 pounds.
Right. I'm struggling.
Today I'm feeling pretty good, so I'm going to let these two girls be your.
I felt convicted in your presence.
Well, I know, and I hate it when people do that. I'm like, I'm here to help.
Yeah, and 15 pounds. I mean, come on, that's not that much.
You're
I don't even see it on you.
And that's the thing. The first thing when you ask yourself, "I want to be in shape," you have to first define what that is for you.
Yeah.
Because what's in shape for me might be totally different in your mind. So you need to define what that is, and then understand why you want that. Right. For you, we were kind of talking about you, like you felt like you just lost a little control because you're doing all the right stuff and you just don't want to go back down where you don't feel like you have the control. So, and I'm assuming you want to feel healthy. You want to feel good. You want to have energy. You want to be around there for your kids.
You want to find that happy place, that sweet spot.
Yes. And a big part of that is what you're kind of already doing, right, is eating good, non-processed foods, like good, clean foods, and then making sure that you're working out, but not too intense.
Too much. That's where I went wrong.
Yeah. There's like—
Too much what?
Too much working out. She was working out too much.
Oh, too much. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like what kind of exercise?
And then I stopped.
And then you stopped. And then you blew up?
I'm kind of like—
The all or nothing.
I'm all or nothing. I go for 6 hours or I don't go at all.
And that's something else people have to realize. Are you the all or nothing person? Some people need to ease into it and some people just need to go and start and do all in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful if you're the all in person because then that means you're the all out person too.
So
you have those big— you go
I'm
in
all
and
out
kick,
right
you
now.
Kick, you kick butt for like 6 months or something like that and then you go on, not saying this is you, but you go on like a 2-year hiatus versus the person that isn't the all in person, but they stay consistent, they build up. Like, that's a healthier way to go if you can, but know if you're not all in person.
Well, you know, you're making me— I didn't mean to cut you off. You're making me think of Kip Watson. She says that you should never go longer than 3 days. That's like the— once you go over that 3-day mark, it is very hard to get back on track.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree. It's more of a mental thing. Like, physically, you could go more than 3 days and be okay. It's not necessarily the best, but I think it's more the mental aspect of— You start to get back into that, I'll go next time. Or,
oh, yeah.
Day four, I'm tired.
Might as well just wait next week.
Exactly. You start to make those little compromises in your own head, and you will talk yourself out of it pretty darn easy.
Yep.
Like, you just have to— the compound effect is huge, is just do a little bit each day if you can and build up and just stay consistent.
Yeah.
Once you kind of find, like, you know, it takes a lot of work at the front end. Right. And then there's no big secret. It's you just got to work hard. Right. Mm-hmm. You got to clean up your diet, eat whole natural foods, whether it's organic, you know, plant-based, you do a lot of your own gardening, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's awesome. But do the research on the foods. Make sure you are eating whole, unprocessed, or low processed. Like, there's ultra processed now, never a good idea. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you get high quality like grains from Italy, it is processed, but it's minimal processed.
Thank
like,
you that's for not giving gonna, Italy yeah, a
I
thumbs
know,
up.
I know yeah. You was like, and it's legit because the way that we process stuff is so bad here that it's almost always ultra processed. Processing a little bit of process is not the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's just the ultra process where you have no fiber, no real nutrients left in the food, mm-hmm. as far as the micronutrients. So it just start out in moderation, but you gotta find what kind of works, mm-hmm. and experiment with yourself. The base is okay. Get the whole base foods, work out, and then you gotta just tweak and find out, because it's not a cookie cutter, unfortunately. Yeah. You know,
body can change.
It can.
Because I get into a routine, and mm-hmm. then that's where I get stuck. It stops working, and then yeah. I get frustrated and throw my hands up in the air.
And that's mm-hmm. where you gotta change, but you don't. To like that's a good point. Is you will stop making gains or losses depending on how you look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once your body adapts, but you don't have to revamp the whole routine. Just change a couple little things to make you progress.
What are some common mistakes that people make?
Is getting into the exact same routine. Like, I know guys that do the exact same lifting routine for 20 years.
Yep.
And it's better than doing nothing.
calling me out right now, because this is what I do. I find it and I keep doing it over and over.
It can make you, isn't that like, so you get on the treadmill and you do it over and over and over. It actually can make you gain weight, right?
Well, it can eat away muscle mass.
There you go.
I don't know if it makes you gain weight, but it's not going to help. And it's going to eat away muscle mass. If you do a long endurance, mm-hmm. low intensity, mm-hmm. steady state for a long period of time, it can actually eat away muscle mass. So I got to be careful of that. But I'd say the two extremes are bad. Not changing up the routine ever is not a good idea, okay? But changing it up just to change it up and changing it up 100% is not a good idea either.
Okay.
You need to make little changes. Like you say you do...
Itsy-bitsy?
Yeah, itsy-bitsy. say
this is why I'm failing. Yeah. Okay. I now understand.
Well, yeah. You know, and I want to make this point before we go off the air. We've mm-hmm. only got about a minute. So, yeah. You know, there is a major key to getting into shape. And I know that you know it. I know it. What is it? Share it with our listeners.
Self-discipline and consistency.
Yeah.
Essentially what I was saying
discipline.
The whole time.
Yep. Doing something you don't want to do every single day.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Adds up. And
a little bit.
Stick with it. And it'll help. Try not to get down.
I'm leaving right now for the gym.
All right. Well, Daniel, maybe he'll take you next door with him. He's an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center right next door. And it's great having you in studio.
Good being here.
And you know what? I hope you enjoyed the show, everyone. I know we always enjoy doing it. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm going to close with this, like I always do. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.